Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I am Jim Galante. He is Andrew P. Shea. Andy, it's the off season, but oh my goodness, there is so much going on in college football, isn't there?
Yeah, all the change in the last 2 years, Jimmy. I think the word off season for the between the 23 and 24 seasons, I think that's a misnomer for this year. I think it's the season, part of the season where the games aren't played on the field. Other than that, there is no shortage of news and happening, you know, at Penn State, in the Big Ten, and across the country. Pretty much week to week, it is what in the past would have been one or two things that would have been very big news. You get three to five of those a week sometimes, I feel. So it's just a part of the college football season where the games aren't played on the field.
It's part of the landscape. Before we get started in some of our news and notes sessions, Andy, I want to give a reminder to our listeners that on Monday, February 12th, we are going to be at Cafe 210 in downtown State College, a celebration of Penn State women's sports. We're calling the series Winning Ways. We are going to have Char Morette Curtis, legendary field hockey coach at Penn State and now the founder of Teammates for Life. That's an initiative at Penn State supporting women's athletics. Not only will Char be there, but also Carolyn Keeger. She is the coach of the women's basketball team that, if you haven't been paying attention, it's a tournament team. It's slowly been building to this point. We're going to have Carolyn Keeger on. We are going to be at the cafe from 4:30 to 6:30 on Monday. Come on in. There's drink specials. There's food specials. Hey, we're introducing to Downtown State College for the first time Pulp Daddy beer. If you're a beer drinker, Andy, it's sensational. And if you plan on going to the wrestling match at the BJC Monday night at 7, why don't you come into Cafe 210 first? If you want to meet the voice of Penn State Wrestling, Jeff Byers, he will be there. Our buddy Landon Tengwall will be there. Cast of thousands, Andy. So if you're in State College on Monday, please stop by and say hello. All right, Andy, let's get to some of this news that we've been talking about. And it's fascinating with these news items, and we talked about this a bit, you and I, yesterday. I'm not sure in and of itself any one of these is the huge news, but it's the step in the process of the big news. Right. I want to start with Dartmouth's basketball team. There was a ruling that they could move forward with their attempt to unionize. Now, of course, the NCAA is going to counter that, and it's going to be in the courts for a while. But this is the first step in that process, Andy. What does it all mean?
So this is, yeah, for Dartmouth, if you remember, Northwestern went down this path about a decade ago. I think it was in 2014. But when, you know, this is a national labor relation, NLRB, you know, type thing with the NLRB. And there's a big difference between public schools and private schools. So this time, the other step in the process, it's the Ivy League, right? It's Dartmouth. They're private schools. So that gives the Dartmouth men's basketball team a little better chance of, you know, their ruling being upheld at the national level. And also you have to remember that the conference doesn't provide scholarships, but that was really important that the initial ruling determined that equipment, lodging, meals, and more, they're all considered compensation. I found that intriguing because would this like jeopardize that? Would it stay or go? And I just think it's another step in the process with where college athletics is going with free agency in the transfer portal, the athletes' ability to market themselves through NIL. it's just changed the landscape so much that, you know, how much more player power do the players end up getting or receiving over course of time through this process? The last part of this ruling that I think stuck out to me more than anything, Jimmy, and this grabbed me a lot, that the profitability of a sport is not determined in being a factor for employment. In other words, they're trying to become employees at Dartmouth. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. But I also wonder about the athletes. I'm like, are you saying that they can pay you minimum wage? Because, you know, it doesn't matter how much profitability they make. So there are two sides to the coin. It is a risky proposition for the athletes in some respects, I feel. But overall, it's just another legal piece of this puzzle as college athletics goes under pretty much a total overhaul after, like, you know, 3 or 4 decades of sort of growing in the way that it grew, you know, through the 60s and 70s, 80s and 90s into the 2000s. So much has changed in the last decade in the college football playoff era. And I think you're going to start seeing players' rights being a next level.
Andy, this ruling, it reminds me of the expression, one of my favorite, unintended consequences.
Okay. Yeah.
Now, when this type of thing goes in front of the court system, they have to go to the laws as they are written.
Correct.
Lay people often use things like right, wrong, fair. They're not factors. They are irrelevant. The courts have to rule by the laws. When the labor laws were written, they weren't written with the intention of collegiate athletes. That was not any of the intent. So now you're using laws. So when you talk about in this ruling, they talked about things about Dartmouth controls the players who perform the work in exchange for compensation, that's the definition of an employee. Well, I don't think that was the, you know, the lawmakers' intent when they wrote those laws. So now you have the unintended consequences. And it's funny, you brought up that point of profitability of a sport is not a determining factor.
Right.
And I had that in my notes, followed by the word, Andy, scary. And let me tell you why it's scary.
Yeah.
If profitability is not a factor, we could say all we want. Hey, football brings in money. The players deserve to be compensated. So this kind of ruling, I can make an argument that it makes sense. But what about all the other sports? Essentially, outside of football, maybe basketball, very few sports are profitable. Dartmouth, as an example, probably their football team is not profitable. With the unintended consequences, players, athletes, okay, you're going to get what you want. You're employees. You're compensated. You know what the schools are going to do, Andy? They're going to drop sports.
Yeah, they could, because they're not profitable, right? Students going to classes is profitable at an Ivy League school. Athletes playing sports is not profitable.
Well, I want to know, I've reached only the level of high school sports. Should I have been compensated when I played high school sports? You know, by their definition, the coach determined what we do, when we do it. I'm going to sue Berwick High School for, you know, 45 years ago, Andy, when I played high school sports. They owe me compensation for that. So, you know, these are very dangerous waters that they're going down. And as much as I hate government intrusion on things, might this be something that needs to be legislated? That, as much as we hate to say it, does Congress have to step in, Andy?
Oh, man. What's scarier, this being in a court of law or this being in the United States Congress? Ay, ay, ay. To me, I think legislation would be, if this had to be legislated, that would be even scarier, because then you bring politics into play. But legally, I see it's the best path.
I do too, Andy, and I'll give you an example. I've seen on social media people coming out after the coach at BC, head coach, took an NFL job as a coordinator. I saw on social media the ruination of college football. If a head coach leaves for a coordinator position, it's the demise of college football. Why isn't the NCAA doing something about it? Well, the problem is I'm not sure what the NCAA can do. 2 decades ago, there were things they could have done.
Correct.
Now, you know, the horses are out of the barn, Andy, and we're going to get to it in this show. But when the NCAA is damned if they do, damned if they don't, they are going after Tennessee. It's being taken to court. They're being countersued. You know, the NCAA is almost helpless in this.
They opened the spigot, right, Jimmy? They're the ones that opened the spigot with the NIL, and now it has created the wild, wild west.
Well, Andy, I'm going to stop you there for a second. They didn't open the NIL spigot. The Supreme Court did.
Correct.
They didn't want NIL, but what caused that to happen is they did absolutely nothing as far as athletes' compensation.
Correct.
And that's what led to the other things. Probably if they would have taken care of that and done something a decade or two ago as far as player compensation, they wouldn't be in the mess they are in now.
That's a good point. What can the NCAA do is their negligence is now costing them greatly because they have absolutely no say and no power over so much that's going on in college athletics. They might think they have a say in it, but they don't even – do they really even have a seat at the table, Jimmy, you know, anymore? They really don't have a seat in the table, and their ability to enforce laws – went out the door by their decades of negligence. So they're almost becoming irrelevant.
They are, and this has been a series of decisions that they've made over the last 20, 30, 40 years,
correct,
Andy, that has led to this point. And that's a really good segue going into our next segment where we're going to talk about this new alliance between the Southeast Conference and the Big Ten. Stick around for that.
Yes.
Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app.
Hey guys, this is Andrew from 409 Tailgate Club, here to talk to you about our new coffee barbecue dry rub set. Over the years, we've developed some great tailgate sauces and barbecue dry rubs, but our new coffee rubs are totally unique spice blends, low in sodium, and feature Happy Valley's finest coffee, W.C. Clark's, roasted right in the cheese shop in downtown State College. So head on over to 409tailgateclub.com, grab yourself some coffee rubs, and remember, always tailgate with honor. We are.
StateCollege.com is your one-stop source for news, sports, opinion, entertainment, and community events. Over a decade of experience covering the Nittany Lions from reporter Ben Jones. Lively commentary from columnist Mike Poorman and others. Local perspective, local expertise, local information from Penn State's hometown website, StateCollege.com. Trust StateCollege.com for daily coverage of the school, team, and place you love. This is Jim from the Keystone Sports Network. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all our loyal listeners. As we approach the football offseason, a reminder that we will be here year-round talking Penn State football with all your old favorites, Dustin, T-Frank, Andy, and Jeff, along with newcomers Landon and Sean. But that's not all. We plan on bringing you new shows on our podcast format where we take a more in-depth look at not only Penn State football, but also the other Penn State sports. So be sure to download our app, Keystone Sports.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Andy, I'm Jim. We are talking college football in general and everything that is going on with it, Andy. And we started segment number one with the Dartmouth basketball team. A ruling said that they were able to unionize, that they are actually employees. And now I want to segue into another announcement from the world of college football. And this is that the Southeast Conference and the Big Ten have formed an alliance, which scares everybody that that's a precursor of things to come. But, and Andy, you were saying this between segments, how the shift in power to the conferences versus the NCAA. And I believe the reason why the conferences have so much power is it's the conferences are the ones who negotiate the TV contracts. Those are the billions of dollars coming into the system. Now, if you remember, the reason why the conferences hold that power is, Andy, I think it's about 40 years ago, you and I are both old enough to remember, there was one college football game on per week. If you were lucky, there were two games.
Correct.
We as Penn State fans may see Penn State play on TV once. All right. And I think it was Oklahoma sued for the rights to get their TV rights back, that the NCAA was restricting things. And first of many losses for the NCAA in court. And that changed the landscape of TV contracts. The conferences got the ability to negotiate it. They are the ones with power. There's no doubt the Southeast Conference and Big Ten individually have more power than the NCAA. But if you get the two of them together, they at the very least run college football, Andy.
Yeah, the SEC has always been sort of, it saw itself as the alpha dog, both sort of on and off the field and as the sort of trendsetter of college football. The Big Ten and them are clearly the two super conferences in this new era that has come about out of college football. But the autonomy of the conferences has been something that the NCAA opened the door for. And then they took it and now have run with it. That they've always been in charge. Each conference has always sort of been its own entity. Look at when the conference championships came about. It wasn't one for all and all for one. They came about incrementally with, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe it was the SEC that started it. And then, you know, everybody else sort of over the course of time, the Big 12 was last to have a conference championship after the college football playoff era had even started. They finally joined and got a conference championship. So they have always made decisions on their own and negotiated their contracts. Look at the money that each conference over the course of 25 years, how much money they've generated on their own. They don't need the NCAA.
You know, you brought up the point of the best interest of college football. The commissioner of the Big Ten and the commissioner of the Southeast Conference, it's not in their job description to benefit all of college football.
Correct.
Their job is the best interest of their conference. So they are the ones, they aren't going to look out for college football. They're looking out for their own conference. So when we see this, the two conferences talking to each other, so what's going to be the end result? Short term, the answer is they're going to look at the playoffs and say, hey, wait a minute, this six conference winners getting automatic bids. That makes no sense, especially with no Pac-12 anymore. You know, they're going to start, you know, recommending things that are to their own conference advantage, Andy, both short term and long term.
Yeah, there's there's never been anybody. You're 100% right, Jimmy, in terms of what you say. They're looking out for their own good. There's never anybody that oversaw or was looking out for the good of the sport. And if it was to come about, it would be the conferences having to figure out how to point somebody to be in charge of themselves. Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Andy, well, let me ask you this now. What's the logical end result of this? Some people are saying, will those two conferences just break away and have their own championships, whatever? I don't think they can get away with that. Calling it a national championship when you just have the two conferences, I don't think they would go that far. But I do think there is this. Would they totally break away from the NCAA and all the sports? Or might they just say, you know what? Football is such a unique entity. Keep the NCAA, keep the conferences for all the other sports. But perhaps there's just football. We need to create two tiers for this, where there's maybe 60 programs that are going to be the big leagues.
Right.
And then the rest of the teams are not.
Yeah, I don't think this can be for all sports, right? I don't think they can break away all sports from the NCAA. I mean, you know, just in the SEC and the Big Ten. The SEC, the College World Series, means everything to SEC baseball. You know, for Big Ten hockey, it's the Frozen Four. For college basketball, like, you know, can you imagine a school like Kentucky not playing in the NCAA tournament, for example? I think it's a football-only thing, and where do I think this is going? I don't know, but I will tell you this. Follow the money, Jimmy, because don't you think these guys are going to go where the money takes them or where they think their conference can benefit and their members can benefit the most financially? Follow the money.
Yes, Andy, but one of the things, you know, I've heard say that they should break away maybe like 32 teams. Get those 32 top teams. Here's the problem that I think those teams will have for it, where if you were to do that, you would look at, say, the Big Ten, and maybe you drop Northwestern, Vanderbilt from the Southeast Conference, those lower-tier teams. The problem then is, Andy, you reestablish the curve, okay? If you've only got the 32 best teams playing each other, guess what? You've got a new bottom of the curve.
That's a good point. Teams that were
winning teams, all of a sudden they are going to be losing teams. That does not sell to their fan base. I had earlier this week, Chris Buchanani, our colleague, he said, these teams need the Washington Generals somewhere, okay?
Right.
Teams,
they need the Vanderbilts and Northwesterns.
Right. How often have we seen, you know, those teams with a 2-6 conference record, they're 4-0 out of conference, and all of a sudden they're a 6-6 team. They could sell that to their alumni base. Hey, you know, 500, and we went to a bowl game. If you're only playing those games where you, you know, lose 3 out of 4 games, you're going to lose the fan base. You need to chalk up some of those easy wins. So, you know, my take, my answer to this is, you know what? Separate football from the other sports. Reestablish the divisions by geography. And, you know, play kind of like the NFL does. You win your division, you make the playoffs, X number of wild cards. And you have, but you said it correctly, Andy, it's about money.
Yes.
Could they do, like right now, Southeast Conference is attached to ESPN. Big Ten is attached to Fox. So could you get ESPN and Fox? We mentioned the conferences wielding the power. How about the television networks? I could argue Fox and ESPN run college sports more than the commissioners even.
So I think a secondary piece of this for me, Jimmy, and I just want to bring this up, in this joint committee between the Big Ten and the SEC, the new college football playoff deal is coming in 2026, right? There's going to be a couple years of the 12-team college football playoffs that it's set up. I think they're going to want to have some say and influence on the topic of automatic bursts beyond conference championships or even including conference championships. I think there's a part of them that's trying to align to make sure the largest number of their members, at the quality that both conferences now possess, they're going to get a little, they might get a little bit on the outside looking in initially, but they're going to make sure that doesn't happen long term. That's part of this, I think, Jimmy.
That's the short term. There is that one to me, Andy, is the definitive, without a doubt. Without a doubt, that's what they are going to push for. I think the bigger question is, what do they want beyond that? You know, and could they paint a picture of what the future could look like in a way that benefits everybody? So, you know, like the ACC is in complete and total turmoil. So how do you, a way to maintain the ACC, and this is me throwing out what I think, unfortunately, it's the best interest of all of college sports. The ACC is maintained for all the sports, but football's the one exception. It's treated differently because it is so different than the other sports.
I like your land of hope and dreams, Jimmy, where the Big Ten and the SEC, and we're talking about football here and all the other sports, but really we're talking about football. I like your notion that they look out for college football. There is no chance in, you know, double hockey sticks that is what they're going to look for in this joint alliance. They are not responsible for college football.
The only way it could work, Andy, is circling back again to what you said, not just today, but week after week. Follow the money.
Follow the money.
If you could put that together and show how that makes most money, and that's where
possibly
Fox and ESPN have to be part of that. If they changed up college football where you had this, you know, to make my math easy, 64 teams, eight teams of eight divisions, eight division winners make the playoffs, four wild cards, you get back to your 12 teams. You play seven games within your eight-team division. You cycle through the other divisions, you know, playing four games, and then you have one game a year as your gimme. You get to play podunk. I would think for television, that would be fantastic. You have this great set of games. It's baked right in that you'll play against other divisions, which are the interesting games, Andy, but it has to make enough money. And I think it would. I think it would attract television money, which is the bottom line. And we all know that's the most important thing. Andy, that's going to have to be it on this topic. I'm sure we'll be talking about it more during the off season. But we have to ask Andy. We do that next. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app.
Hey guys, this is Andrew from 409 Tailgate Club, here to talk to you about our new coffee barbecue dry rub set. Over the years, we've developed some great tailgate sauces and barbecue dry rubs, but our new coffee rubs are totally unique spice blends, low in sodium, and feature Happy Valley's finest coffee, W.C. Clark's, roasted right in the cheese shop in downtown State College. So head on over to 409tailgateclub.com, grab yourself some coffee rubs, and remember, always tailgate with honor. We are.
StateCollege.com is your one-stop source for news, sports, opinion, entertainment, and community events. Over a decade of experience covering the Nittany Lions from reporter Ben Jones. Lively commentary from columnist Mike Poorman and others. Local perspective, local expertise, local information from Penn State's hometown website, StateCollege.com. Trust StateCollege.com for daily coverage of the school, team, and place you love. This is Jim from the Keystone Sports Network. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all our loyal listeners. As we approach the football offseason, a reminder that we will be here year-round talking Penn State football with all your old favorites, Dustin, T-Frank, Andy, and Jeff, along with newcomers Landon and Sean. But that's not all. We plan on bringing you new shows on our podcast format where we take a more in-depth look at not only Penn State football, but all also the other Penn State sports. So be sure to download our app, Keystone Sports.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim. He's Andy. It's quarter number three. That means it's time to ask Andy. We take your questions for Andy. And if you want to send Andy a question, really easy. Download our app, Keystone Sports. You'll see the Ask Andy button. And from there, it's very easy. You ready to go, Andy?
Yes, some football questions about Penn State. Yes, okay. Please, today.
Let's go with our good buddy Brad from Perkasy, who says, for as long as I can remember, we have been complaining about wide receiver separation. Will we ever be satisfied with this? And will it be improved this year?
Will it be improved this year? And should we ever expect it? So it's separation comes from not just speed. There's a couple factors. I think design is important. I think that's underrated. What is your total route tree for a play call? And I think that's very undervalued. A receiver's ability to run their routes precisely and understand what they can do. Getting open by design has been one of the biggest problems that I've seen over the last two seasons for Penn State. The receivers have not been very good. That is very true. But just watching the games and watching, you know, from afar, and when you watch it, you know, the end zone camera and a back end look, or even in the stadium scene in person, I don't think their design has been good. And, you know, that's a product of the last two seasons. It was mostly Mike Yursich. So I think that's why James Franklin had to hire him, because I don't think the design for Penn State was helping the offense very much. That's just one trick of the trade, but I think for Penn State it is important. Well, as far as will you see relief this year? That's going to be up to Andy, because Andy's got the design keys, right? Figure out how to help these wide receivers get themselves open, because they're not going to be great at doing it themselves. We know that. That's okay.
Andy, and I'm glad you put it that way, and I think this is the point Brad was trying to make, is I'm not sure, you know, this is all or even mostly on the wide receiver. Yes, they have not necessarily been good, but what has the coaching staff done to help them out, to scheme them open? And right. I'll be curious to see what Andy Kotelnicki could do to help them there. All right, let's go to Ryan in Reynoldsville, who I appreciate this. Ryan's going to be taking a shot at me here, Andy, so I always enjoy that, and I know that you do too. He says, Andy, if Bill O'Brien quits Ohio State as offensive coordinator for the head coaching job at Boston College, how disruptive do you think that will be for Ohio State this late in the year? Maybe Jim will sign off on the statue of Bill O'Brien if it hurts Ohio State. Just to give you a little context on that, I had some discussion on an earlier show where I am not the biggest Bill O'Brien fan, and I got some blowback, the kind that you typically get, Andy. And I was told that by one of our listeners that they should be building a statue to Bill O'Brien, which I, of course, disagreed with that premise. So that's what Ryan is referring to. So how badly would it hurt Ohio State's offense if Bill O'Brien left at this point?
He's Ryan Day has made it clear that he is not going to call the plays no matter what. And even if O'Brien, who's a candidate, and I think he's one of four candidates as we record this for the BC head coaching position, if he was just hired by Ohio State, if he leaves, Ryan Day has said he's still not going to call the plays. So I don't know whether he's covered himself or he just feels like he wasn't doing a really good job. I'm not sure which it is, because that guy's a little bit of a snake in the grass, but I don't think it hurts Ohio State, because Ryan Day has recognized that his play calling might be, or could be, or hashtag was part of the problem for Ohio State and its offense in 2023. And I just think he needs to find a play caller. You can find that. I don't think it hurts Ohio State that much. I think Bill O'Brien would have brought a different level of experience at the play calling position. But I think at Ohio State right now, with the talent they have, they just need somebody not named Ryan Day calling plays for their offense.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to make Ryan's day here by saying, you know what? Maybe losing Bill O'Brien for Ohio State will be addition by subtraction. Maybe they'll get a good football mind coming in there, Andy.
Oh, all right, Jim. Yeah, I'm letting you be on that island and play Survivor. Go ahead. Obviously we disagree on the value of Bill O'Brien as Penn State's head football coach.
Being an offensive coordinator at New England and Alabama, they were going to win whether he was there or not, Andy. And at Penn State, come on, when you start your tenure by losing to Ohio, sorry, you had way more talent than them. No excuse for that, Andy. All right,
How you finish, Jimmy? Not how you start, how you finish, baby.
8-4 is 8-4. Those September games count as much as the November games. They were an L, Andy. All right. I think I am inviting abuse, aren't I?
Yes. Stay on the island. You're good. I vote you. I'm not going to vote you off.
All right. I'm just taking some heat off you, Andy. You're the one who usually gets that. Let's move on to Charlie from Annapolis, who says, Andy, every year there are players that really up their game. They aren't the stars, but they improve their game. Like Kobe King last year. Good example.
Good point. Very good point.
Who are your picks to do the same this year, Andy? I think he's looking for non-stars, you know, not the obvious guys.
Really good question. Wow. Kobe King is a great call for last year. He was definitely a step better. I can't choose any of the four interior defensive linemen. I think, and I don't think you could classify, maybe, tell me if I'm wrong. The one that jumps to my mind is Deni Dennis Sutton at defensive end. And he has this wealth of talent that you've known and seen. But he wasn't one of the guys seen as elite last year, because he had two NFL guys in front of him. I think he's going to jump from a impact player to an elite player. And I think he's a strong candidate there. And I think Cam Miller at corner, I think that kid's ready to make a jump. I know you watched the bowl game against Ole Miss. I watched the bowl game too. I still think this kid's going to be a quality and a quality college football cornerback, and I think he's going to make a jump next year. I saw so many skills in the time that he played in the 12 games before that. I think he's going to make a big jump.
I agree with you. Deni Dennis Sutton, I think, will take the next step, but I think that's a guy. I'm not sure this is who Charlie was looking for. You know, I think Cam Miller maybe fits the model better. You know, the guy who I think we all expected Deni Dennis Sutton to be a star. What I wonder is, you know, is there somebody on the offensive line, like, will Nick Dawkins take that step and become a good center? You know, guy who's been around for a while. Will, here's a name of a guy we like coming out of high school, and I don't know if he'll even get in a two deep rotation, but a guy like Keon Wiley at linebacker, I think he has shown some skill sets there, Andy, but will he get the opportunity? I think if he did, he would show. So those are, How about Khalil Dinkins, you know, at tight end, who needs an opportunity?
Yeah, I'm not ready to put them there yet. Keon Wiley, I think, is a wait one more year guy, and I agree with you on him. Say King goes down or something, I think you learn more about him. I think if Wiley can find his way onto the field, and onto the field I'm talking 25, you know, snaps, 30 yeah. snaps a game type thing. If he does, I think he's one that has – he's shown and flashed a lot of the good stuff that you're looking for. If he can find his way onto the field, and linebacker, it's a pretty deep pool he's got to find his way through. If he finds his way through it, yeah, he's a strong candidate. I just need to see more.
Yeah, he's got to get the opportunity. And candidly, that's a guy that could go absolutely either way, Andy. He might get through spring and say, hey, there's not a clear path for me to get on the field. I may need to go elsewhere. So before someone says, you know, in a couple months, the blowback to Jim again because he's, you know, a starting linebacker at West Virginia next year. It's about getting an opportunity to get on the field, and that's not a definitive case. All right, let's go to Ben in Waynesboro. He says, Andy, under James Franklin, Penn State's been about the 8th to 10th best team in the country. Now with the 12-team playoff, do you see any indication that Penn State will be anything better than a one-and-done playoff team?
This is a really intriguing question, Ben, because I had a conversation a couple nights ago with a really good friend of mine who's a huge Penn State football fan, and we were talking about, like, expectations. So he was like, you know, is James Franklin sort of in a position where he can coach Penn State for life? And I think he's a horse for the course. I think he fits there. He wins a lot of football games. Is that good enough? He doesn't win a lot of really big football games. That's sort of accepted and acknowledged, right? Like, well, acceptance is probably the wrong word. Sorry, Penn State fans. That's acknowledged. Like, James is, they don't win a lot of quote-unquote big games, but they win a lot of football games. I think in a 12-team college football playoff, one and done should not be good enough for Penn State. I really don't think so. I think if you want to move to the next level, it can't be one and done, Jimmy.
Andy, that is going to be it for this segment, but I do want to respond to your answer there. I'll do that when we start quarter number four, because there's a lot of context to this. I'll talk about that when we come back. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app.
Hey guys, this is Andrew from 409 Tailgate Club, here to talk to you about our new coffee barbecue dry rub set. Over the years, we've developed some great tailgate sauces and barbecue dry rubs, but our new coffee rubs are totally unique spice blends, low in sodium, and feature Happy Valley's finest coffee, W.C. Clark's, roasted right in the cheese shop in downtown State College. So head on over to 409tailgateclub.com, grab yourself some coffee rubs, and remember, always tailgate with honor. We are.
StateCollege.com is your one-stop source for news, sports, opinion, entertainment, and community events. Over a decade of experience covering the Nittany Lions from reporter Ben Jones. Lively commentary from columnist Mike Poorman and others. Local perspective, local expertise, local information from Penn State's hometown website, StateCollege.com. Trust StateCollege.com for daily coverage of the school, team, and place you love. This is Jim from the Keystone Sports Network. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all our loyal listeners. As we approach the football offseason, a reminder that we will be here year-round talking Penn State football with all your old favorites, Dustin, T. Frank, Andy, and Jeff, along with newcomers Landon and Sean. But that's not all. We plan on bringing you new shows on our podcast format where we take a more in-depth look at not only Penn State football, but also the other Penn State sports. So be sure to download our app, Keystone Sports.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number four. He's Andy. I'm Jim. Andy, I wanted to take the opportunity to respond to the question that we got finishing up at the Ask Andy segment, which was, you know, will going to the playoffs and being a one and done team be enough? And you brought up the James Franklin doesn't win big games. Well, James Franklin has been stuck in this division where Ohio State,
correct,
year after year has been a top five, top three team year in and year out. You see it. They recruit more talent than anybody in the country outside of Georgia and Alabama. Clearly head and shoulders above Penn State when it comes to recruiting. Every year they have more talent on the field. And James Franklin is not the only coach who loses all the time to Ohio State. Until a couple years ago, Jim Harbaugh was suffering that same fate.
3 years ago, yeah.
And as of 3 years ago, Penn State and Michigan were comparable. It's only in these last couple years Michigan has now matched Ohio State and been a top five team. So I think it's unfortunate Penn State's schedule, which has been two games against two really elite teams, and then 10 games that they should win. So before this season started, we were all, 10-2. They win these 10 games, they lose those two games. And I think his reputation has suffered because of that, and that, he always loses to the best teams. Well, guess what? That's how the best teams become the best teams. They win all their games.
Right.
Now, I think with the new Big Ten, there are more teams that are, I'm going to call them comparable to Penn State. When you have a USC, a Washington, and Oregon, who are really good teams, but not necessarily elite. They're not Ohio State. And I got a feeling Michigan may come back down to earth again, where they'll be a very good team, but they won't be an elite team. So Penn State isn't going to suffer the fate of it's automatic. They lose this game, they win all the rest. I think they'll have more games where they're playing good teams. And I think this will be a better test of James Franklin's coaching ability when we see him against Washington and against USC.
I agree.
I'm going to be really interested in there will be more competitive games. It'll be better for the fans, more fun games to watch, Andy.
The narrative can change. It can be reshaped because the depth is a little deeper and it's not strictly about two teams as the only measuring stick.
Exactly. They'll have maybe four or five games every year of interest. All right, let's move on. We've been talking, Andy, about, you know, so many interesting things happening in the world of college football that are in the news and really shape college football. And when we finished up segment number two, we had to acknowledge the power of television in college football. We were talking about this alliance between the Big Ten and the Southeast Conference, and we were saying how power has shifted from the NCAA to the conference and hence the conference commissioners. But that has been because of television. Those conferences are controlling the contracts, but it's actually ESPN and Fox. They're the people who are controlling things, Andy. And now comes news that there's a new television alliance where we have ESPN, Fox, and Warner Brothers Discovery have created an alliance where they are going to put out a streaming service with all of their sports channels. to understand what that means, I think it's obvious who ESPN is, all of their stations, along with the Southeast Conference Network and the ACC Network, which ESPN runs, all of the Fox stations, along with Big Ten, which Fox is a partner in the Big Ten. Where does Warner Brothers Discovery fit in? Well, they're TNT and TBS and even True TV. So now we've got this new streaming service. How much power are they going to have, and how much is that going to change things, Andy?
So I have a hard time putting my – I think this streaming service for sports is niche in the viewing market and the way it is being reshaped and shaped today, right? Like you have your entertainment, you know, your Netflix and your Prime. That you get some sports on Prime, but you kind of have to pay for it. It's not a sports centered streaming service. They're entertainment streaming services. I think they, instead of being some of individuals, each individual element on its own, I think they just decided to get together and offer it as an alternative or a specialty for people who don't want sports a lot, but want a little bit of sports when they want to watch their team, per se, or for the real junkie who literally wants everything and anything and literally only watches and is attuned with sports, and that is where their viewing goes. Because for the most part, you can get a little bit of a lot of this through a streaming service, some streaming services already, you know, and they are that, you know, like YouTube TV already offers a sports tier that gives you a lot of these elements. So including some regional stuff, this is not regional, this is more national, but it kind of becomes regional. I just think it's a response to the market, and it's a niche. I think it becomes a niche service, Jimmy.
Well, right now, Andy, I'm not sure how much effect it has on anything. You and I talk, you have right. YouTube. I have Fubo, and the reason why I have Fubo, I used to have YouTube TV till they stopped carrying SNY, which carries the Mets. So I went to Fubo, which does carry SNY, but every one of these stations on here is carried by Fubo. And we talk, you know, those entities, they're $70, $80. The pricing right. for this new sports streaming has not come out. People have been guesstimating maybe in the $50 range. So are there going to be people who say, yes, I want all those sports, but I don't care about the networks and series TV on the networks, so I'll get this and save $20 a month. The problem with that, Andy, is, if this is geared to the sports junkie, guess what? CBS and NBC aren't included in this. So you're going to lose out on the sports that those networks cover. Correct. So am I still going to need something else? So I don't see this right now as something attractive, but will it become attractive later? Like ESPN, when you have those streaming services, if you're somebody who doesn't like sports, if that means nothing to you, a good chunk of your monthly fee is paying for ESPN.
Correct.
So there will be a time, perhaps, when like a YouTube, a Hulu will stop carrying ESPN. And that's the day that this entity will become attractive.
Becomes relevant. Absolutely, Jimmy. If it becomes off the unavailable on the mainstreams, then this becomes like I said, maybe this is a preemptive. This could be preemptive to maybe what's coming down the line as they see negotiations moving forward with each of the streaming services. It could be.
Andy, you know, like tying this into the other things we talked about, you know, the Dartmouth issue, the Southeast Conference Big Ten Alliance, these are not the end of this discussion.
No.
It's the first step.
This is just step one. Yeah.
And it's, you know, any one of these, you could say, hey, they don't have any big effect right now. That's true.
Right.
But in 10 years, maybe in 5 years, we're going to look back at these things and say, that's what caused the, you know, the earth shifting here, Andy.
I will say this, Jimmy, and I'm a sports fan, obviously. Many sports, different sports, and you're a sports fan too. Do I care what it cost? Yeah, but I don't really care what it cost. Whatever service offers what I'm willing to pay for to give me what I want, that's what I'm going to pay for. And if I have to get my ESPN and my FS1 and my Big Ten Network and blah, 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 to be able to access college football the way I want to access it, I'm paying the money. Because I want what I want, and I'll go find it and pay for it. And right now I get what I want on YouTube TV. If that changes, I would pay for this in a heartbeat.
Exactly, Andy. And I'll give you the quick story.
Yeah.
When I graduated college 40 years ago, I moved to Washington, D.C. from Penn State. I'm apartment shopping. And you didn't have your choice of cable or what services, whatever. You had what they offered. I walked into the apartment. All right, do you have the Mets channel? Well, no, they don't. I'm not living here. I'm living somewhere else. Okay. My choice of where I live was dependent on me having access to my favorite baseball team. So you're right. I'm with you where if you can't take college football away from me, I, you know, need it. I require it. If they don't have where Penn State's going to be playing, I don't want the service. And, you know, the reverse is if I only get the Penn State games on a specific service, I'm going to buy that.
Yeah, so, I'm going to find it and pay for it because I want it.
And right now, it is
I don't need this. Right. I don't need this. But if I needed it, I would buy it in a heartbeat.
Exactly. And telling me it's $50 instead of $70 for YouTube, that's irrelevant.
Don't care. Do not care one bit. I'm willing to pay to get what I want, and that's my value proposition. I will go find it and pay for it because I want access to it. And this is about access. And I think this is the first step in creating future access.
And Andy, if you're creating a streaming service that's about sports, you and I have to be their target audience, okay?
Absolutely.
Because we're the idiots who will pay whatever it takes to get it.
Right.
And I suspect that's who our listeners are. The ones who are listening to us talk about these things are that same market. And right now, you're right. I don't think the typical person needs this to get ESPN or the Big Ten or Fox Sports. We already have it with our other services. And that's where it's going to be. And it's why I said this is right. Not the end of this discussion. This alliance is the first step. Let's see where things go later. And it may be part of, you know, those streaming services where you pay channel by channel. You don't pay for everything.
Right.
So this might be one place to go to pay for all those sports channels together, bundle those. All right, Andy, that's going to have to be it for our show. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app.
Hey guys, this is Andrew from 409 Tailgate Club, here to talk to you about our new coffee barbecue dry rub set. Over the years, we've developed some great tailgate sauces and barbecue dry rubs, but our new coffee rubs are totally unique spice blends, low in sodium, and feature Happy Valley's finest coffee, W.C. Clark's, roasted right in the cheese shop in downtown State College. So head on over to 409tailgateclub.com, grab yourself some coffee rubs, and remember, always tailgate with honor. We are.
StateCollege.com is your one-stop source for news, sports, opinion, entertainment, and community events. Over a decade of experience covering the Nittany Lions from reporter Ben Jones. Lively commentary from columnist Mike Poorman and others. Local perspective, local expertise, local information from Penn State's hometown website, StateCollege.com. TrustStateCollege.com for daily coverage of the school, team, and place you love. This is Jim from the Keystone Sports Network. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all our loyal listeners. As we approach the football offseason, a reminder that we will be here year-round talking Penn State football with all your old favorites, Dustin, T. Frank, Andy, and Jeff, along with newcomers Landon and Sean. But that's not all. We plan on bringing you new shows on our podcast format where we take a more in-depth look at not only Penn State football, but also the other Penn State sports. So be sure to download our app, Keystone Sports.